Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I can find my notes here. Not that I'll use them. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I just, from the very beginning, I've always tried to go with how the Holy Spirit wanted to flow. Now the next time it'll probably be totally different. I've never, that I can remember, had two services in a row that it was the same. But I try to follow Him and as close as I can, and flow with Him. And there's no certain order. You know, next time He may stop in the middle of a message and start prophesying to everybody and pick the message back up and go again. Anything can happen, you know. He's God. I mean, that's His prerogative. It's my desire and my responsibility to flow with Him. Now, I may say some things tonight that may be a little bit against what you've been taught in the past or what's been ingrained in you, I'll put it that way. What's been ingrained in you, it might not be quite what you had ingrained in you, but just keep an open mind and take whatever I say and pray upon it. Say, well, I don't agree with that part of it. Well, that's okay. Just take it and pray upon it. And you know, and by the way, you know, if you received something, a word tonight, and you don't agree with it or it doesn't quite match, put it on the shelf until it does. Hey, I'm not proud. No problem. Like I said, I'm not an Old Testament prophet. You know, I get to hearing these Old Testament prophets running around. You hear them all the time. You know, they never get over into the New Testament. They prophesy out of the Old Testament. And I'm thinking, you know, if they were judged by what they're prophesying out of, we'd have a bunch of headless prophets. You know, but thank God for the grace of God. You know, because back in the old days, in the Old Testament, if that prophet was prophesying false things, he was beheaded. Stoned, beheaded, whatever. He wasn't left alive. You know, because he was supposed to be bringing God's presence and God's Word to the people. But now we have the Holy Spirit. That's why in the New Testament, the prophet brings confirmation, comfort, exhortation, is because we have the Holy Spirit. You don't need me to lead you. You've got the Holy Spirit to lead you to the place you're supposed to be. All I'm supposed to do, or someone operating in that capacity is supposed to do, is just bring comfort, confirmation of what you already know that was in your heart. Nobody knew it but you. Or maybe at least you or one or two others knew it. You know? That's what the New Testament prophet is supposed to do. Exhorting you to a deeper place in God. Another place in God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So anyhow, if I say something tonight that just doesn't quite fit, you know, just pray. Just pray over it. You know, religion makes you stupid. It does. Religion makes you stupid. Relationship makes you wise. See, religion, if you'll notice, most religious people think they're all right. I used to, wherever I'd go, I'd tell people because, you know, I've gotten to minister to a lot of homosexuals in the past. And I'd tell people, I'd say, you know, religious people, getting them delivered and free is harder and worse than a homosexual. Oh boy, you talk about getting ready to throw stones. They'd be ready to throw stones at me. But look, a religious person thinks they're all right. They think nothing's wrong. Deep down, that homosexual knows that something ain't right, that he's messing with. That's the difference. But you got to watch. You know, you'll get off into religion or become religious, and it'll deprive you of what's yours. And you'll slip off into it and not even know you've done it. That's why you've got to work on your relationship with God. It's a personal relationship that counts. That's what matters. Personal relationship. One-on-one. You and Him. Knowing Him intimately. Well, we did a certain thing a certain way in my church. Well, maybe you ought to get with God and do it a little different. Hallelujah. So anyhow, let's go to John chapter 11. I really like this passage, and I think that, you know, once I bring some things out in it, you're gonna like it, because, you know, people think, well, you know, if God guides me, it's the Holy Spirit guiding me and leading me. Well, that's true, it is. You know, I'll agree with that. I have no problem with that. But do you know that before this is over, I can show you that actually your born-again nature is leading you? It's usually not the Holy Spirit that tells you not to commit adultery. It's that born-again nature on the inside of you. So that's wrong. Don't do that. No, 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 no. Don't steal that car. You wouldn't be any if you were truly born again. But it'd be that born again nature. No, no, don't do that. That's wrong. Don't do that. The Holy Spirit expects us to follow our born again nature, to listen to our born again nature. He expects us to. Hallelujah. Now, well, show that to me. I will here in a little while. I ain't ready yet. Anyhow, chapter 11 of John. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. That's in verse 1. Continue on. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now, follow this story real close. Therefore the sisters sent to Him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom You love is sick. I mean, they were close. You've heard that expression, closer than a brother? That's how they were. Him and Lazarus. When Jesus heard that, He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man may be glorified through it. See there? God does get glory in sickness. Wrong. That's not what it's about. He put that sickness on Him that He could be glorified. Wrong. Wrong. You were taught wrong. Goes on and says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. You know, I need a healing. I forgot my glasses. I'm going to have to believe God. She's always saying, put those glasses on if you're going to read. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. He didn't get in no hurry. He stayed 2 more days. Even after he heard that he was sick and that he was really sick, he stayed 2 more days. Then after this, he said to the disciples, Let us go to Judea again. He finally said, let's go. Let's go. We can go now. Let's go. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you're going there again? Jesus answered and said, Are there not 12 hours of the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. Now, what he was saying here is, he's saying, look, you know, in the light of the day, you walk about and you can see things clearly. You can see things clearly in the natural. The day is light, but if you walk in the night and you don't have a light, then you're going to stumble over things. And he had told them, you know, we're going to stay right here for 2 days. He stayed for 2 days. He said, now it's time to go. Well, they had been wanting to stone him, planning on organizing to stone him the first chance they got. And the disciples knew that. Well, who else do you think knew that? Jesus knew that. He knew that in the natural, but more than anything, he knew by the Spirit of God, the light, the Spirit of God, that this was going to happen. But he also knew that if he stayed 2 more days, that he would get clearance to go ahead and go. He wouldn't have to worry about it. Because they'd probably disbanded or whatever. But anyhow, by waiting 2 days, do you think maybe, just maybe, he was hearing God? Just maybe he was being led by God. Just maybe he was being led by how we're led. See, everything that Jesus has, or has, however you want to put it, has, was given to us. This side of the cross. Amen. I really love that message. But everything was given to us. So whatever he had was given to us. The only thing that wasn't given to us was lordship. See, I tell people this really upsets them. This would be one you probably want to take home. Pray about, you know. I don't even know whether to tell you or not because it might just shut you off right now where you don't even listen the rest of the night. But people will say, I'm a covenant man. I'm a covenant woman. You know that movement that was going on. I'm a covenant woman. Well, you can be a covenant man. You can be a covenant woman. I'm a son of God. You know, whenever my sons were in college, not so much now, of course, but when they were in college, if they needed anything, they didn't pull out an agreement between me and them and say, look, Daddy-O, you promised me this. No, they didn't do that. They just called up on the phone and said, Hey, Daddy-O, I need $100. You know. They didn't have no agreement or no covenant. They were my son. Well, I know we had a covenant. That covenant of Abraham brought Jesus along. I don't need no covenant. I'm a son of God. Everything that he has is mine. Everything that he can do, I can do. Except the lordship part. I'm not Lord. But everything that he has is available to me if I tap into it. That's what we're doing earlier tonight. Was tapping into some of that he already gave. But anyhow, going on here, everybody say, I'm a son and daughter of God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God, sons and daughters of the Most High. Hallelujah. Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may awake him. Then the disciples, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. They didn't get it. They didn't get it yet. He will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, hey, fellas, listen up. He's dead, okay? You know, he's dead. I mean, you know, get it? And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let's go to him. Then Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. They still didn't get it. They still didn't get it. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days, and you know the rest of the story. That's not what I'm after. You know that he had them to throw the stone away and call Lazarus forth, and he came forth, raised him up from the dead. But he knew, Jesus knew, that they were planning on stoning him. That they were planning on trying to kill him before the time. Before it was time for him to die. And he knew to wait there, and if he waited there a certain amount of time, he would be able to go and raise Lazarus up, and he wasn't worried about Lazarus being dead because he had the power, the same power, the same power and the same person that was guiding him and shining light upon this situation was also the person that would provide the power to raise Lazarus up and call him forth. He already knew that. So he didn't have to worry about it. But he was listening to God. And he had the light. He who walks in the day has the light. He who walks in the night doesn't have the light. That's why you want your candle burning bright. That's why you want to be praying in tongues and doing these things in the Word of God, that your spirit, man, your born-again nature is shining in the darkness. Shine the way for you to see. You know that if it's shining, you know some things to do without having to ask the Holy Spirit, should I do this or should I do this? Your born-again nature already knows a certain amount of steps to take. And the more you pray in other tongues, the more you pray in the Holy Ghost, the more that's going to shine brighter and brighter that you'll know to walk by your born-again nature. There's some places in the Word of God that everybody thinks, well, that's the Holy Spirit leading. And it's actually not. It's the born-again nature. See, He wants your born-again nature to be rise up above the flesh and the soul realm. We encountered some stuff this weekend with someone we have spent so much time and so many years with, and all it was being led by their soul. You know why? Because they hadn't been praying. After all these years, I'm not going to describe it too much because you don't need to know who it is. But after all these years of praying in the Holy Ghost and knowing to pray in the Holy Ghost, they hadn't been, and they were being led by their soul and their flesh. Now usually if you're led by your soul, you're usually also led by your flesh. I mean, usually they go hand in hand. Not always, but usually. But He wants you built up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, doing the things in the Word of God, that you can follow that born-again nature and know that I'm supposed to go this way or not this way. I don't even have to ask God. It's already there because of my born-again nature. I know the direction to go. That's what He wants. That's what He desires from us. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, but leave a marker there because we might come back. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. with me, you never know. Romans chapter 8. Starting in verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And he's talking about there, if you put to death the deeds of the body, if you put to death the deeds of the body by your born-again nature, you will live. I thought it was the Holy Spirit. No. He's talking about in this passage, for a ways down, he's talking about your born-again spirit, your born-again nature. So you have to keep things in context. Remember, you don't just lift out verses out of context like some do this next verse. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Sons of God, meaning mature ones in Christ. People will say, well, if you're led by the Spirit of God, you're a mature one of Christ. No, that's not true. Because there's some people that sometimes are led by the Spirit of God and just flaky as all get out. There's that word again. I promised myself I would try to refrain from using it in pastor's presence the best that I could. But occasionally it slips out, Pastor. I apologize. I should have apologized at the beginning of the service and that would have covered my sin, but but many people that you think are led by the Spirit of God and are sometimes are not necessarily mature ones in Christ. That's not a sign of maturity just because you think you hear God every now and then. A mature one in Christ is led by their born-again spirit on a day-to-day basis. They know what to do. And they're able to hear the Spirit of God through their born-again nature. But they don't even have to ask. They know because of what's in them and what that is in them, that born-again nature is saying to them, they know what to do. So let's read it that way. For as many are led by their born-again nature, these are the mature ones in Christ. You say, well, how do you get that? Well, you got to go back a ways in Romans, especially to the first verse of chapter 8, and keep it in context. Because he's talking about here, this born-again nature that we've been given, that it rules over our life and not the law of sin and death, but the law of life, Spirit of life. That we may live, that we may walk this out and not die spiritually. See, you got to keep it in context. You always keep it in context. Don't just take a verse out and say, well, hey, this must mean this. No, you've got to keep it in context. What is it saying there? He's saying that this born-again nature is leading us. That same nature was in Christ when He was there and they were trying to get Him to go on and take care of Lazarus. That same nature was in Christ and we've inherited that through the baptism of the Holy Spirit and our spirits coming alive and being filled with life, what life? The life of Christ. And that now that we have that, we can be led by it just because we have that born-again nature and we're willing to listen to it. See, we want to listen to our born-again nature on the inside of us. And we want it to be burning brighter than ever so we can listen to it. If it's not burning bright, then we're probably, if it's dim and almost about to go out, barely alive, then we're probably not going to follow. If we are, it's not going to be on much of a regular basis. But if we take these messages that we've been hearing on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings, if we take these messages and we start applying them in our life and getting revelation just how important it is to pray in other tongues and start spending hours upon hours, I'm going to go more than the hour. That's just me. That's just me. But I agree with what Pastor says about it. If you will just pray an hour. But I'd like for you to pray more. You know, something was said this weekend. My wife, we're always kidding each other. Something was said about a situation that we were dealing with. And she said something about how much you've been praying. And I said, 24 hours a day. I mean, I have not had much sleep this week because of this situation that we're facing. But I know that those tongues that I'm praying, those things that I do not understand, are going to bring the truth. And I'm going to prevail because of what He's given me. Praise God. It's not a severe deal that you need to worry about or anything. It's just something we need to have. We're working. Special deal. Let me just put it. So I'm spending a lot of time because for one thing, the businessman in me wants to get nervous. You know, and wants to, what can I do? Can I do this? Can I do this? What if I do this? Will this happen? If I do this, will this happen? That's when you need to be praying in other tongues. A lot. A lot. It probably will require more than an hour a day. But when you pray in other tongues, your spirit burns brighter and brighter and brighter the more you pray. And the more you're going to know what to do. You're going to know, well, they're fixing to kill me over there if I go over there. But if I wait and use the power to raise Him up by staying here, then I'll stay here. I'll stay here till I know from my Father that it's okay to go over there and raise Him up, and I'll know because of it burning bright, I'll know to go there.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He knew what to do. He knew what to not do. And He knew what to do. Is this being recorded? Because I might want to hear it again myself. Hallelujah. We want our spirits burning bright. We want to see what happens is this is the best way I know to say that your soul and your flesh, you know, that flesh man, it's right here at this level. Right here. Everybody look at me. Leave your Bibles alone for the moment. It's right here. Your spirit is down here. You get filled with the Spirit. You start praying in other tongues. And it comes up. You pray in tongues some more. And it comes up. What does it bump against? The flesh and the soul. Then you decide, maybe He's right about fasting. So then you fast. It goes on top. On top of what? Your flesh and your soul. You pray some more. It goes up higher. It brings you into a higher place when you pray in other tongues. And yes, other things in the Word of God help along the way. See, you know I mentioned fasting, and I'm just going to let the cat out of the bag. The first chance that Pastor gives me to preach after January 1st, you're going to get fasting. Because that's the time that you start in the first part of the year, in my opinion. I'll be fasting then. If you want to come along, you can come along. If you don't, I'm not going to hold it against you. But see, there's other things in the Word of God, like fasting, worship, meditating the Word of God, and every one of those things do something different than the other. Fasting does something different than praying in other tongues. Praying in other tongues is the key, though. That's your foundation gift. That's the foundation gift. But then you kick in these other things, and they help bring you up into a bigger place in God. A deeper place in God. See? So you come up here, and you're praying. You hit this soul here, and all of a sudden you want to fall apart. You call Pastor up. Pastor, help me! I don't know what to do. Well, you come up against that soul and what is the word I'm trying to think of? You come up against that place that you need to break through. See? That stronghold of the flesh, your soul, or both, or whatever. Well, the only way you're going to get past that is do things in the Word of God, like praying in other tongues to get past it and get above it. See, it'll stop you. And if you stop praying right there, you think, well, I'll stop praying and I'll stay right here. No. You stop praying. And you have to start over again. To get back up. You don't want to do that. You want to keep going and not stop. So you can break through that. That ceiling in your life. Sometimes when we start out, that ceiling seems real low. I mean, it'll take nothing to pray and come up against it and fall apart. You know, but if we keep praying, we'll keep going farther, and yeah, you'll hit some other places in your life that have a ceiling on them. And you just keep praying, and you break through them, and your light shines brighter and brighter and brighter. You're able to hear God more clearly, and you're able to be led by your born-again nature even more and more and more. And you'll quit making some of those dumb mistakes that you thought were awful dumb, but you was wishing nobody had seen it, but they seen it anyhow. But that's okay. You keep going. You keep going. You don't let that stop you. You just keep praying. Going farther into Him. Farther into Him. Shining brighter and brighter. Being led more and more by your born-again nature that you avoid Satan's traps. You follow that born-again nature that's praying in the Holy Ghost all the time, you won't hit some of those traps of Satan. You'll be able to avoid them and go out around them. What do you think Jesus done? He avoided that trap that was being set for Him, where He would have been stoned. What do you think kept Him from falling into that trap? The light that He walked. See, He didn't walk in that light as God. If He had it, then you and I couldn't have what we have. He walked in that light as us, meaning we can have what He was in. But we have to apply things in the Word of God, like praying in other tongues, in order to obtain, to walk. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Did I take too much time tonight? I don't know. Hallelujah.